whatever. Hey, guys. Hold on 1 second. I got to put it on mute. I got to finish something.
What is the...
officially back in the building. By popular demand, I am your host, Raz Williams. What's up? This show is coming to you live every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And yes, that's right. For those of you who don't know, we're on the west side, sunny California. Guys, we have a special show for you tonight, and I'm looking forward to really getting into today's topic. But before I tell you what the show's about, I want to introduce my co-host for the evening. I believe we have Alicia Cheney back in the house. Alicia, you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Alicia, good. What's going on, man? Long time no hear.
Yes, you're right. It has been a while. I missed you guys. I heard that you had some great shows, so excited to be back here with everyone again.
So, Alicia, tell everybody what you've been doing on your... time off. I know you've been traveling the country and doing some other kind of work and stuff. I mean, how's your week been? I mean, has everything good?
Yeah, it has. It's been good. You're right. I have been out of town. I had an audition and went home to Illinois to visit family. So was gone kind of for two different reasons, but it was a good trip nonetheless. Always good to go see family and, you know, sad to have to leave, but good to be back. That's what's been going on. Work, and that's about it.
Man, I was just telling Ronnie, I think Alicia's trying to avoid us, Ronnie.
Don't take it personal.
She got married, or she found herself Mr. Do-Right or something.
No, not yet. Ha, ha, ha. It'll be nice when that does happen, but in the meantime and in between time, I am going to be just doing what God put me on this earth to do, so, hey, that's about it. But nope, nobody, no prospects on the horizon, I'll say it that way.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, that definitely will happen. Alicia, it's good to have you back on the show. I think Ronnie and myself will both agree we definitely missed you from being on the show.
I missed you guys. It's nice being missed.
Absolutely, absolutely. And next is my brother. From another mother, Mr. Ronnie Ambrose. How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How you doing, Raz? What's up, Alicia?
Good.
Hey,
cool.
Ronnie. I know. I missed you, too. I haven't even seen you in person in a while, either.
In a while. I know.
Yeah. So good to be back. Good to at least get a chance to chat with you via radio.
That's right. No, but thanks for having me, Raz. You know, it's always a pleasure to be able to, you know, hang out and discuss some things that, you know, need to come forward in a biblical perspective. So, you know, I'm always happy to participate.
Absolutely. Real quick, Ronnie, what do you think of last week's show? I know we had a very interesting character by the name of Mr. Solutions, and big up to Mr. Solutions out there.
If you
call us back, we'd love to talk to you again. But what do you think of last week's show?
The show was cool. You know, I hope everyone goes and checks out the archives and checks it out because last week's show was good, you know, dealing with you know, men being masculine and, you know, what's going on, you know. But, yes, Mr. Solution was fun, you know. Maybe he could call and stay on topic this time. But you could tell that, you know, he had a lot to say.
Definitely. Interesting. Okay, well, guys, tonight's show is discussing, is there more than one way to heaven outside of Jesus Christ? Is there more than one way to heaven outside of Jesus Christ? I believe this is a crucial topic because many people believe that there has to be more than one way to heaven. I mean, why can't I just live a good life? Or just believe in God and go to heaven? Why would God limit the ultimate truth to one specific religion? After all, it seems so exclusive and really seems so unloving. Or is it? Guys, now I want as many people as possible to call into tonight's show. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way, call us. If you don't believe Jesus Christ is the only way, call us. This show, after all, is called Can We Talk? Guys, to call the show, the number is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Guys, here's what's going to happen. People, if you want to call in, here are the rules. If you're a certified psycho who just wants attention, do not call in. If you're a sneak tip or a trap stylist, do not call in. If you just want to make the show about you, do not call in. But if you want to talk and have a healthy conversation, guess what? You can call in. With that said, I really want to get to tonight's topic, and I kind of broke down this tonight's topic into a couple of basic questions, and I want to ask, let me do this. Let me ask Ronnie and Alicia, starting with you, Alicia, what do you think of tonight's topic? Alicia, we still have you?
Yes. I'm sorry. I thought you said let me ask Ronnie and Alicia.
Okay.
Oh, I apologize. Yes. What do I think of tonight's topic? I'm glad we're having this discussion, and actually, initially, when you first told me earlier this week that we were talking about this, the first thing I thought about was a billboard that I saw probably, I don't know, 6 months ago, sometime earlier this year, and I was driving down the 210 freeway, and Katie Kirk was promoting one of her shows that was coming up, and the topic of the show was, is there a heaven? And immediately it made me think about, you know, how this world is searching for an answer. Like, what happens after you leave here? How do you get to heaven? You know, and going along with what tonight's topic is Jesus the only way to heaven? So I believe it's a very good topic. Hopefully it answers people's questions. A lot of people do want to know, why is Jesus the only way? Is he the only way? So hopefully tonight they'll get answers to those important questions.
Absolutely. Ron, I'm going to ask the same question to you. What do you think of tonight's topic?
Well, I think it's necessary, you know, and I hope it sheds some – I hope we can put some things on the table that people could go away with and give them some clarity and true direction so that they can make a decision to actually go to heaven. And so I think it's – I'm looking forward to giving and receiving. So I'm excited about it because I think there is a desire to know what's going on, and you know, this is not a discussion that people have on the regular. So, you know, we can have it here. So I think it's good.
Absolutely, awesome. That's good. Well, guys, we received a letter from one of our faithful listeners by the name of Sonia Shari out of Maryland, and she wrote us a letter, Ronnie, in response to last week's show. And if it's okay, I just want to read her letter that she wrote into us. And she said that, in my opinion, Mr. Solutions is a great example of when to listen to your gift of discernment. We all have it. We just have to fine-tune it every once in a while. As I listened for the first time via the archive, I paused mid-program to assess how I would process Mr. Solution's contributions. Yes, all of us have the right to be heard, but it is a personal decision to how to use acquired information, and quite frankly, he left me feeling confused and uncomfortable. I found his tone and demeanor to be condescending, accusatory, confrontational, impatient, and unnecessarily verbose. I hope new listeners to the program will not be unduly influenced. For me, Can We Talk is not about making stars of the callers or the hosts. The only star is the Word of God, and the Word of God is not negotiable. Can We Talk is an open discussion for believers and non-believers to talk about the impact of God's Word on their lives. We chose to listen or turn a deaf ear or struggle with comprehension. It is a space to be heard without judgment and a place to find encouragement. Most importantly, Can We Talk is not about glorifying this world, i.e. selling books and wordsmithing or just doing a blog. It's about preparing us for God's eternal embrace and his ultimate praise. Well done, guys. Well done, guys. To the creators, hosts, and producers, I want to say please stay encouraged. One show does not stop the mission. Next week, God is restoring all listeners back with sharper focus. It was all in his plan. Have a great week, Sonia. What do you think about that, guys?
I think that's awesome. And thank you for the encouragement.
Yeah, it's good to know that the show is having an impact, and it's good to hear feedback from the listeners. So just the fact that someone's not only listening to what is being said here on Can We Talk, but taking time to respond and respond in such a thoughtful manner. So I appreciate it. Thanks for listening, Sonia, and we appreciate your support.
Yes, we do.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And the next person that contacted our show, Alicia, remember we did a show back based upon we did it on the damages of pornography and sexually explicit material. We did it like two or three weeks ago. We got a response from a gentleman from Christian Premarital Sex Ministry. But check this out. He believes his ministry name is called CPSM Ministries. CPSM Ministries is an internet ministry. We teach Christians that premarital sex is not a sin. We encourage Christians to engage in premarital sex before making a decision on marriage. And I checked out his website, and he has a the website has a picture of I guess two couples having sex naked, and a picture of what's supposed to be looks like Christ, but really is not Christ. Next to that picture, and there's a picture of a beach with a fish drawn in the sand. You know, like you know that fish you see on people's cars, in the back of their cars.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And and then he has a couple of subparagraphs, I guess headers. One that says that the intro in premarital sex myth, the new age of premarital sex, which kind of gives it all the way right there, the new age. So, Ronnie, what do you have to say to CPSM Ministries?
Well, you know, we know that we don't wrestle with the flesh and blood, but the spirit behind that is definitely something that needs to be dealt with because when you encourage premarital sex, what you do is you throw biblical principles out the window, and you no longer associate yourself as a follower of Christ, but as a follower of, you know, your flesh because. Premarital sex is a thing that, you know, I'm sure we had a show about it. Premarital sex is all carnal. You know, that's not how you judge whether you stay with someone or not. That's not how you can't really base your relationship on, you know, the physical act of having sex. And so premarital sex is not just a casual thing, but it's actually something that we've talked about earlier. You create soul ties. You put yourself in a position to bond to someone that you might not be with forever. So it does more damage than anything else. And if we're believers, I could accept that if he was just a regular guy in the world, but to claim that you're a believer and totally go against what Scripture says, that's not a believer at all. You don't believe, because belief causes you to change your behavior. And obedience and allegiance, that's true worship. And so since his ministry doesn't line up with Scripture, his ministry is not functioning for the Father, but it's just, you know, it can only lead people into ruin. Because if you start promoting premarital sex, you're going to start promoting babies out of wedlock. You're going to promote, you know, just all the things that the Bible tells you not to do. And if you look at the history of marriage biblically, you know, no sex was conducted until the marriage was final. That was like the last part of the union was the marriage. And the thing about that being so important and saved for last is because the woman was supposed to be a virgin. And so if you're promoting premarital sex, you're going against God's order for marriage. And so, you know, I just pray the brother wakes up and repents and does it according to Scripture.
Hey, absolutely, Ronnie. That was very well put. Alicia, do you have anything to say to CPSM Ministries?
Well, what I would really say, more so not just to him, but just to people who may be led astray by what he has to say, because I feel like Ronnie summed that up really well. And what I would just encourage people is don't be led aside by the philosophies of man. That really has nothing to do with anything, that when we stand before Christ on Judgment Day, and you say CPM Ministries told me I could have sex before marriage, God's going to say, well, what does my word say? And so we have to go according to what does the word of God say. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what any man says. At the end of the day, the only thing we're going to be judged by is what does the word of God say, period. And the word of God makes very clear where God stands on this issue. And his word says, flee all sexual fornication, so flee sexual immorality. And so we have to be mindful that we have to heed to and listen to what the word of God says. And the other thing it makes me think about is a show that you guys did not long ago, and it was about sheep dressed in wolves' clothing. And we have to be mindful that just because an organization puts the word ministry on it does not mean it's affiliated with the body of Christ, because we will, as the word of God says, judge a tree by its fruit. So you look at the fruit that this ministry is bearing. If it's not bearing fruit that lines up with the word of God, it doesn't matter what you put on it. If it isn't sealed by the word of God, at the end of the day, that's what matters the most. And so I say that that's where it is going to become crucial, that people know the word for themselves in these last days, because ministries like his ministry, so many of those are going to crop up here, there, everywhere in these last days. And so if you don't know the word for yourself, that's how, you know, so many times you see these cults and people getting led astray. Oh, the world's coming to an end. Well, what did the word of God say? The word of God says that no man knows the hour. So if you know your word, you can't be led aside by ministries or people who are advocating something that is so contrary to what the word says. So that's what I would say to that.
Guys, you see why I have Alicia? You see why I have Ronnie on the show? These guys are like ballistic missiles. They do their job with impact. Wowee. I mean, woo! That was good, guys. That was awesome. You know, I PK Spearman, I see you. Sonia Sharvey, I see you. I see you guys calling in, and we're going to get to you. Just please hang tight. We've just got to get to a couple of things real quick. Guys, to call into the show, please call us at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. We're talking about, is there more than one way to heaven outside of Jesus Christ? Now, I want to go to my man Ronnie. Ronnie, what have we got in the news this week?
Okay, well, I just got one issue here that I found on the ChristianHeadline.com, and let's get right into it. And it starts off by saying that the Obama administration strongly objects to it strongly objects to a proposed amendment by the National Defense Authorization Act on Wednesday. This act would have protected the religious rights of soldiers, including evangelical Christians, service members who are facing a growing hostility towards their religion. And so this amendment right here that was proposed on Wednesday, which is being opposed by Obama, would have required the armed forces to accommodate actions and speech reflecting the conscious, moral principles or religious beliefs of a member. And so, you know, that's what it was going to do. It was going to protect the person's right or freedom of speech and, you know, freedom of religion. And so the Obama administration said that the amendment would have significant adverse effect on the good order, discipline, morale, and mission accomplishment. So they opposed it. And so with this statement, the White House is now endorsing military reprimands of members who keep a Bible on their desk or express a religious belief. And so there's a quote here from someone named Fleming on Fox News. This administration is aggressively hostile towards religious beliefs that it deems to be politically incorrect. So having a Bible is politically incorrect. So Fleming introduced the amendment after a series of high-profile incidents involving attacks on religious liberty within the military. And here we go. Here's a few incidents, including an Air Force officer who was told to remove a Bible from his desk because it might give the impression that he was endorsing a religion. And so here's a few other incidents that have been going on behind religious beliefs. So in the Air Force, there was a video made by a chaplain that was censored because it included the word God. The Air Force feared that the word might offend Muslims and atheists. And so I'm like, if you got a chaplain, I'm sure, you know, that would do it, but you can't say God. And so another incident, a service member received a severe and possibly career-ending reprimand for expressing his faith's religious position about homosexuality in a personal religious blog. And another incident, a senior military official at Fort Campbell sent out a lengthy email officially instructing officers to recognize the religious rights in America as a domestic hate group akin to the KKK and neo-Nazis because of its opposition of homosexual behavior. And so the rest of that story you can find on ChristianHeadline.com. So basically, Wednesday there was an amendment put that would protect a believer. You know, we're called to go seek and save the lost. As we go to seek and save the lost, so as these men go into battle and as these men travel and as these men function in the service, you know, their primary duty is to seek and save the lost. And here it's being deemed politically incorrect, and they're being reprimanded, and careers are being taken. And so basically you heard them say that this email was passed letting people know that the religious faith that we profess in America is to be considered as a hate crime in the service. And so that's taking your freedom of speech right away. That's making you compromise your belief. That's making you put the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag above the Pledge of Allegiance to the Father. So this is where we are. And this is Wednesday. Mm. So, you know, I don't know if you guys want to express your views on it. Let's pass it around. What do you think about it, Alicia?
Wow, that's, you know, it reminds me how important it is for us as Christians not to live with our head buried in the sand, because so much is taking place on a larger scale that we have to be proactive. We have to be involved, and we need to make sure our voice is heard. And so they're wanting to take away our fundamental rights. You know, it almost makes me think of different things that we hear taking place in third world countries where, you know, Christians are in hiding. And not to say that we're at that point, but as they gradually begin to, you know, want to cut back on or say that a Bible on somebody's desk is offensive to somebody, well, maybe you flashing your breast on TV is offensive to me, you know? So I just say that we have to, you know, speak up. We have to make sure our voice is heard. We have to, you know, really, honestly, the Word of God says, and I think about what it talks about in Acts, you know, and I believe it was Peter and somebody else were being admonished by the court, and they were telling them not to preach in the name of Jesus, and basically they're like, you know, we have to obey God and not man. And
wow.
So that's what we have to remember, that we pledge allegiance to our country, but we never allow what the Word of God says to take back seat to what any man says. So we always hold the Word of God above all things. So if God says to do A, B, C, and D, then that's what we need to be doing, A, B, C, and D. And so that's just what I would just say, that we have to, you know, we have to be prepared in this day and age to stand up for what we believe in. We do, because it's going to, as you said, cost maybe a job. It's going to cost maybe, you know, people talking about us and all of those things. But Christ endured all of that for us, so we have to be willing in this day and age to stand up for what we believe in as well.
Absolutely.
Do you want to say a little something about it, Brad?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Alicia, I think Alicia said it perfectly. It's just amazing how things are really speeding up to, you know, I truly believe we're in the last of the last days. And you know, Satan is angry. He's mad, and he, of course, you know, he's so threatened by true spiritual believers in the Word of God that he would try to pull such political moves. You know, he's in the political arena. He's in the financial arena. He's in all facets of life. That's why the Bible calls him the God of this world, and therefore he will use anything within his control and influence to try to shut down truth, which is the Word of God. And you know, it's funny how they're attacking us, but they're not. But homosexuals can have put cartoons out on TV. They can put their education in schools. How come their education is not banned in schools? Like, but the Bible's banned. I don't get that. You see what I'm saying? So it's just interesting how this is all being flipped around and turned upside down, and how they're turning us into would-be criminals, really. So that's my comment, bro.
That's right. Well, that's the news. So, you know, like Alicia said, we can't live with our heads in the ground. So I just hope these stories are encouraging people to go and look up and look around and get involved where you can. And we need to come together, because we do have a vote that can affect some things. We do have a presence. We do have financial power. And, you know, and above all, we got the spirit of truth that guides us and goes before us. So we need to come together and be of one mind on some of these things. So just hope everyone enjoys the news, and go ahead and check out these sites. You know, just Google Christian news and, you know, have at it, but get informed. So that's just for the news.
Awesome job, Ronnie. Hey, I want to get to this caller. She's been holding on really patiently before we get into today's topic. I want to introduce to the show P.K. Spearman. P.K., how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. P.K., can you like speak up a little bit? You sound very far away.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you. P.K., let us everybody know where you're calling from, and how did you find out about the show?
I'm calling from Northern Kentucky, and I found out about the show actually through a friend. And ever since then, I've been listening to you guys' shows, and I really appreciate the message that you guys are bringing with the show. It's very powerful, very beautiful to see, you know, you and your guests come together and talk about God, because God is almost like the pink elephant in the room nowadays. A lot of people feel uncomfortable to talk about God. is like, and even the ones that are believers, they will shun God to fit in with the other people around them, and I just think that that's ridiculous because me myself being a believer, I would never shun God for anybody because at the end of the day, people are fickle, and when you don't have a friend in the world, when you didn't know your name, when you didn't know the path for your life, God was there. So how could you shun God to try and please this person who's no more important than you are, you know?
Absolutely. That's an excellent point. Now, Peek, I understand you have your own radio show too, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, awesome. Well, that's good. Well, PK, we'll stand by. We're gonna thanks for being on the show, and we'll definitely go ahead and listen, and we'll definitely get to you as far as comment wise. Well, let's get into today's show. I've heard a lot of people say there is more than one way to God. How could God reject other paths of religion? People always seem to talk about religion. And I don't think analyzing things in terms of religion is the most efficient way of going about this topic. God does not choose one religion and say, I'm going to put all my eggs in this basket. Religion is nothing but a distortion of the kingdom. Religion cannot contain the kingdom. Religion happens when we start going away from the kingdom. So here are the questions that I want to focus on tonight. Are all religions basically the same? Is Christianity simply just a philosophy among many? And the last question is, why are so many Christians, why do they appear to be too narrow-minded or arrogant to think that Jesus is the only way to heaven? So with that said, I want to go to you, Ronnie. Let's toss this question around. Number one, are all religions basically the same? What do you think about that, Ronnie?
Okay. Well, like you said, you were making a distinction between you know, we know that religions don't necessarily, you know, what me as a believer in Christ, I'm not a religious person. And so I'm dealing with truth. And so, but we know, for the sake of the question, we know that, you know, there's many different belief systems that we'll call them religions. And I don't believe that they're the same, because once you get past past the surface, you'll start to see that no, they're not the same. You know, there's a claim that the Muslims, the Christians, and the Jews are all Abrahamic, so they all believe in the same God. But like I said, once you take a closer look, once you get past the surface, and once you look into culture and history, you'll find out that the Muslims worship Allah. And Allah was one of over 300 gods that were worshipped at a place called the Kaaba. And once you dig into that, you see that Allah actually represented the moon, which actually stands for Semiramis, which dates back to Eastern mysticism. And you'll see clearly that, no, that's not the same God, you know. So then you look at Judaism, and you'll see that well, you know, they believe in the God of Abraham and Moses and all this and that, but they're in a stage of disobedience because they don't accept, you know, the reciprocal, the Savior. They don't accept the rest of the message that was given to humanity. And so they're off, you know what I mean? So everyone is not following the same thing. When you get to Buddhism, you know, you come to a point where they tell you there is no God. And so that the God is you. And, you know, this material phase is all there is. And you try your hardest to, you know, get into a transcendental state, you know, into a euphoria, you know, to reach the next level of reincarnation or something like that. And so you'll start to see that they're not all the same, you know. And I would like to encourage people to go past the surface and do some research, and you'll see that there's a big, big difference. So, yeah, they can't be the same.
Absolutely. Good point. Alicia, I want to ask you the same question.
Okay. Are all religions the same? And my answer would be no. All religions are not the same. There are similarities in the extent that most religions identify their supreme being as God, you know, in that regard. And so even for myself as a believer, when I'm talking, I make sure to make the distinction that I serve Jesus, because I want people to understand that there is one God and that is, you know, Jesus, because so many people, whether it's, you know, the Muslims who call their God Allah, you know, all religions pretty much refer to their supreme being as God. So on that level, I would say that that's one similarity. But when you look beyond that one similarity, you see that most religions think the way to heaven is through work. You know, you work hard enough. You have, you know, Muslims, you work hard enough. When you leave this earth, your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, then you get into heaven. But that's where Christianity is different, because it's really not intended to be a religion. Man has made it a religion by following rules and regulations, but God's heart is that we would have a relationship with him through his son, Jesus. And so the difference where Christianity is concerned is that we don't get to heaven by working hard every day. The Bible makes very clear that, you know, we've been given grace, and by faith we have access to heaven. And so it's not by works that we are saved, but it is by, you know, faith and the finished work on Calvary's cross. And so the answer to that question would be no, all religions are not the same. And it's so important that people understand that, because it's like they'll have this idea that all roads lead to Rome. Well, no, all roads don't lead to heaven. There's one way. And so it's so important that people know the differences, because the word of God definitely makes clear that I am God and besides me there is none other. So those are some things that people really have to know and be clear with, that when we call on God, the same God that the Muslims call on is not the same God that we as Christians are calling on. So my answer would be no to that question.
Well, very well put, Alicia, as always. PK, I want to. You've heard what Lonnie and Alicia had to say. Do you have anything else to add to that comment, as far as people believing that you know, all of it is basically the same? What do you have to say about that?
Basically, can you guys hear me? Because I know for some reason.
You still sound kind of faint, PK. If you can speak up, that would be great.
Okay, I'm trying my best. To speak up. For some reason all day I've been having phone problems, so bear with me.
Okay.
But this is what I felt about that. With the different religions out here, I just feel it is from people's inquisitiveness. For instance, my grandmother is a Jehovah's Witness. I'm a Christian. Now, we believe in the same God, but we have different different methods or whatnot, different rules to the game. But what I find with Jehovah's Witness is they're more into bullying you into believing their way than just, you know, just you having a freedom to believe however you want to, you know, to flourishing your relationship with God. However, and my thing to that is, from people's inquisitiveness, I feel we have come up with these different ways and have made them into different religions because of the way that we want things to be. It's I don't know. It's kind of like a power trip thing when I look at it. Is like, instead of it being just one way, because I believe that there's only one way. There is no, you know, 500, 600 ways, you know, outside of Jesus Christ to get to heaven. I believe that there is one way. But I feel from people's inquisitiveness and wanting to put a stamp on, you know, it's this way and it's that way, and I'm gonna follow this way or whatnot. that's how we have come into all of these different religions, and it's basically it's just another core to divide the people of God, because at the end of the day, we all came here the same way, and we're all going to leave the same way. So I don't know. It's so much I have to say about that, but basically what I'm saying is I just feel that these religions are put here to divide the people of Christ from God. And the more that we are divided, the more division there is, the more negativity there is, and the more farther away we are from doing God's mission, what he has put us here to do. And
right.
I feel until we knock down those walls and we say, you know what, you know, really there is no other way but through Jesus, because they say you have to seek Jesus' face first to get to God, because Jesus is the tabernacle, he's the meeting place. And so you can't find that same divinity and that same purity in going a different way. You know what I'm saying? So there, you know, I don't know. That's just what I have to say about it.
Okay, that's a good point, PK. I want to draw a couple of distinctions. I believe the uniqueness of Christianity is rooted in the uniqueness of Jesus Christ himself. Other religious leaders say, "Follow me and I'll show you how to find truth." But Jesus said, "I am the truth." Other religious leaders said, "Follow me and I'll show you the way to salvation." But Jesus said, "I am the way to eternal life." Other religious leaders say, "Follow me and I'll show you how you can become enlightened." Does that sound familiar, Ronnie?
Right.
But Jesus said, "I am the life of the world." You see the difference? So no other religion can really make the same claims that Christ made. None. I challenge anyone to call in and make that kind of statement. It doesn't exist. So I want to ask the panel, I want to ask this to Alicia. Alicia, why do you think so many I've noticed that people – They're so leery of Christianity, the Bible, Jesus Christ, but yet they're quick to go to psychics. They're quick to embrace other, like, New Age type stuff, mumbo jumbo. That really is really, to me, it's actually harder to believe that than believe in Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound kind of upside down? Hello, Alicia. We still have you.
I'll take it.
I'll apologize.
Okay,
I apologize. I thought you could hear me. Can you hear me now?
Oh, we can hear you, yeah.
Okay. What I would say to that is that where that's concerned, it doesn't surprise me in the regard that we have to recognize, and that's part of what the world may or may not realize, is that we do have an adversary. And so definitely the enemy is going to, you know, make people think that there are other routes of getting information, whether it's through psychics or different things like that they're going to go to those other means, because oftentimes until people have searched out every other source, are they willing to ever come and consider what God has to say. And so sometimes even where people are concerned, you know, when it comes to Christianity, one thing that I would even say to that, sometimes maybe people have had an unfortunate experience where they've seen Christians act in a way that is contrary to the word or what have you, and so then that shapes their perception of how Christians are, and now they don't want to have anything to do with this God who we serve. And so that becomes unfortunate, and so then they may once again decide to go find other means, whether it's, you know, a psychic or different things like that. And at the end of the day, it just shows you that we have innately built within us by God a desire to understand who our maker is, desire to understand things that we can't comprehend with our natural mind. And so people seek out things like psychics and mediums and different things of that nature. And so it just, really reinforces that people, you know, have to be content and really seek out truth. Because you can seek out information from a lot of sources, but unless you're seeking after the truth of God's word, whatever you find outside of that is not going to line up.
Absolutely. And, you know, Alicia, you just mentioned truth, and Ronnie also mentioned truth in a few moments ago. Truth is, I find that truth is always singular and exclusive. Error is always multiple and potentially infinite. For example, guys, if you take your cell phone, look at your cell phone. There's only one thing that it is, and an infinity of things that it is not. Is it a bicycle? No. Is it a piano? No. Is it a monkey? No. You get my point? Truth says that it's a cell phone. It cannot be anything else. So if God is going to become a human being and die on the cross to free us from oppression and the tyranny of evil and reconcile us back to God, it's going to happen one time, one place, through his chosen method, which is Christ Jesus. This means that it's not in Buddha. It's not in the Mr. Mormon or Confucius or any other god. Ronnie, what do you think about my comment?
Well, I totally agree. And, you know, there's plenty of truth out there to support that, you know, what's being offered by God is not going to be found anywhere else. And, you know, we do got to keep in mind that what would try to counter the truth is always a lie, and we know that the enemy is the father of lies. And so you can't really go by how it makes you feel, because, you know, sugar has no positive properties, but, you know, it's a stimulant, but it does nothing good for your body, you know. So the thing is, just because something feels good doesn't necessarily make it the truth. Because something is different doesn't make it, you know, any closer to the truth. And so the truth is just one thing. And we're being fed a lot of pluralism out here, as far as, no, you can, you know, do it however. We're being led astray by, you know, the argument that to say there's an absolute truth is to either be judgmental or intolerant or insensitive. But no, there's none of those things. It's just the truth. So like, there can't be more than one way.
Absolutely. You know, I want to read a couple of scriptures that I pulled out today. And I want to read John 3:16. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. If you believe in him, you shall not perish but have everlasting life. John chapter 3:36. If you believe in the Son, you have eternal life. But if you reject the Son, you will not see life, for God's wrath remains on you.
Wow.
Acts 13:39. Through him, everyone who believes is set free from every sin you could not be justified from by the law of Moses.
Okay.
Acts 15:11. Cool. It is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that you are saved. Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. So there you have it, guys. If any of you are asking or questioning, that's it. Check this out, Matthew 10:32. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge him, therefore, before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny him before my Father in heaven. What do you think about that, Alicia?
I tell you, it just makes you really think about what the word says, that we have to be committed to adhering to the word, because, I mean, those are, you know, strong words. And whoever denies me before men, I'll deny them before my Father in heaven. And we just have to just honestly in that sort of a, be sold out to Christ and not compromise, not sell ourselves short for anything. And when we stand before God on judgment day, nobody wants Jesus to say, turn from me, you wicked sinners, I know you not. Hmm. I mean, that just is not, that's not the place that you want to be eternally separated from God for the rest of, for eternity. So, yeah, that's definitely a strongest admonishment.
Hmm. Absolutely. You know, there's people listening to this show right now. They're getting angry. I can feel you. I can feel you through this studio. you're so mad. How dare you say that? How dare you guys come out and say that kind of stuff? Yeah, that's right. We all saying that. And not only that, I mean, they're so stubborn. They just don't want to, man, anyway. Let me not get too heated right now. I just want to remain calm and do the show in an orderly fashion. I want to talk about the next question that I wrote down, which was, is Christianity simply philosophy among many? And it's pretty similar to the first question that we asked, but a lot of people think that Christ was a very gentle soul who was enlightened, and he was a good guy, and he taught us how to do things in a good way and live a decent life. They simply reduce him down to a philosophy, and I think that's devastating, and it confuses a lot of people. So, Ronnie, I want to ask you, how has society, I would say through the educational systems and what have you of this world, pumped that into people's minds as far as reducing? I find that a lot of intellectual people, they usually say that.
Yep. Yeah. No, but you see, you said it best. It takes a combination of things. The first thing that was done was you remove access to the scriptures from out of the youth's hands when you pull it out of the schools. You do that, you deprive them of even having access, of even, you know, they can't even look into it for themselves because you've taken it out of the school system, you've taken it out of, you've hid it from them. Then you go to the next phase where you try to despise it, or you try to lower its true standing by saying that, you know, like you said, Christ is just one of many men that were enlightened, or trying to minimize Christ to a level of consciousness, when the truth of the matter is Christ is God in the flesh. This is what the scripture says. Christ is God, is proof of God's love for humanity by leaving heaven, coming to earth to become a sacrifice to buy us all that are willing to be bought back into freedom. And so when you make the Savior anything less than God, you know, that's like blasphemy. And so this is what's been happening. And so you might hear Christ without an understanding and think, yeah, he might have been a nice person or just a historical figure, and you'll never get to understand that this was the creator of the universe taking on flesh and nothing less. And there was none after, and there's none before. And so, to say that it's a philosophy is a big mistake, because philosophy and truth are not necessarily on the same standard. You know, you can have a philosophy of, you know, pimps have philosophies. You understand? Murderers have philosophies. When I was lost, I had philosophies for days, but that didn't make them truth. And so, it's not a philosophy. And to intellectualize it, like, I think we had somebody say that, you know, Job was a good piece of literature. When you go out of your way to despise something that was given to humanity by God, you know, you're being led that way by an evil spirit. You know, evil spirits don't necessarily have fangs. You know, it's their ways that show that they're evil. And so, yeah, you don't want to despise it, because, you know, Christ is no less than God in the flesh. That's what the scripture's saying.
Absolutely, Brother Wayne. That was a very good analogy. I want to ask this question to Alicia. And Alicia, you're in the entertainment industry, and how do you find that the entertainment industry embraces the truth of Jesus Christ? I know there's, like, for example, Oprah Winfrey and a few other in the Hollywood circles. There's a lot of Scientology, a lot of New Age philosophies going on. So how do you what do you experience out there in the entertainment industry as far as standing up for Jesus Christ, which I know you do? How do you find what people, I mean, their beliefs? I mean, do you feel like there's some sort of, like, unspoken tension, or, I mean, can you let us know how you find that?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are different facets of things that you will encounter. I think in general, there's kind of an unspoken, kind of what you mentioned, unspoken attitude toward Christians, whether it's you think you're better than everybody else, who do you think you are to tell me that this is wrong or this is this or this is that. So I do think those things definitely exist. What I would say as far as what people believe, there's just a multitude of beliefs out there. I mean, and that's just, you know, that's just the way it is. And actually, I did an event probably, I don't know, two or three weeks ago. And when I was there, I saw this sign up that said, "Are you stressed? Take a stress test to find out." And as I was walking closer to the sign, I saw, you know, a guy said, "Hey, come over here and take this test." And as I glanced down right behind the sign, it said a book on the table, and it said L. Ron Hubbard. Well, for people who may not know, L. Ron Hubbard is the founder leader of the Church of Scientology. And so immediately when I recognized that, I said, "No, I'm a Christian. I serve Jesus, and I'm not interested in your stress test." So there's just, I mean, that's just one example. I mean, there's just a multitude of beliefs. There are a multitude of different things, but it also reminds me how other faiths and other people, for what they believe, whatever level it is, what they believe, they're doing what they need to do to get their message across, whether it's, you know, putting up a tip, inviting people to take a stress test, and now giving them literature on how to deal with that. We as Christians can't be ashamed of what we believe in. We have to be willing to be just as bold and go into environments armed with the truth, and that's what's so important. We have the truth, and we have the answers that could set this world free that's only found in Jesus Christ. And so, I mean, to answer your question, there really are a number of different things that people believe, and it doesn't necessarily surprise me when I encounter different things, because it's just played out on what we may see on the TV screen. Sometimes I get an opportunity to see some of that happening behind the scenes.
Absolutely. And Alicia, you just mentioned something really important there where you mentioned that we need to be armed with the truth. And I think also PK, she had said something about how she noticed that being in the company of some Christians, they don't stand up for Christ. They allow themselves to blend in with what everyone else is saying. So, and that's so important. I think today's, and I even hate to use the word Christian. I rather use the word believer, because Christian is so open ended, and today's Christian, I'm not, you know, again, this is not passing judgment on anybody or coming from a place of superiority, anything like that. But I've noticed that today's Christian is really weak and just pitiful, man. I really do. I think that other religions are much more aggressive, much more articulate, and they have a much better marketing campaign, especially in the way that sometimes some of them conduct themselves, than believers do. Ronnie, what do you have to say about that?
You're right, because the mistake I believe a lot of Christians make is we come into liberty, and then we think that liberty means you don't have any responsibilities. And so what we do is some people actually start looking like hypocrites because they're not really in the Word the way they're supposed to be, because the liberty we get is the freedom from the powers of sin and the consequence of sin. The liberty we get is having the ability to not have the world have any control over us. But we have a lot of instructions to follow, because we're supposed to be bringing the truth everywhere that we go. And so, I agree that as a member of the body of Christ, I would like to see people, you know, practicing what the Bible says. Not necessarily the traditions in the church house, but the letters in the scripture, that if we were to stick to those, they would empower us to do and look and bring in what we're supposed to bring in, because if you look at the Nation of Islam, what attracts a lot of people to them is the order. There's the order. They have order. They got structure. When you see the bow tie and the suit and the bean pie, you already, you know, it's branded, you know. And so when you see the Jehovah's Witness walking around, you know, they have an order. They have a structure. They have a pattern. They got a system. And the Bible gives us as believers the formula to work for God, but we're not being aggressive. We're not taking it seriously. And so I just want to encourage people to take it seriously, because what's happening is the lost are staying lost when we're not effective. So we need to
absolutely
be more effective.
Great, great, great point. Great point, Monty. PK, do you have anything to add to this topic? I'm sorry, the question?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to go back to when you guys were talking about that people have basically put God in this box to where he's basically like a philosophy now. And I was reading this wonderful book by Tommy Tenney, and it's called Art of God Chaser. And in that book, he was talking about how people of today have basically excluded God out the picture, and mainly because people are relying on the God of yesterday and what God did in those times, not just for the people in the Bible days, but their elders and their ancestors, and how they talk about how God did this and that in their life, and how we've gotten so lazy, and the fire for God has become so lukewarm that we have went from chasing after God and wanting God and conjuring up God to where we're looking for the crumbs of yesterday's God. And I just want you to know, anybody out there that's listening, God is very much alive. He's alive today just like he was alive yesterday. And just because your ancestors or family talk about the God that they knew, that's not the same God that you know. And with God being, you know, not coming the same way, I feel that in this time, yes, there are a lot of believers that have placed God in a box, you know, belittled him to the point of a philosophy or whatnot. But there are a lot of people that he's calling to reform the kingdom, not to repair it, but to reform it because of the divine purpose that he has for the people of the future. And and lastly, to add to that, I believe that a large majority of us have belittled him down to the point of a philosophy because we're constantly looking for evidence to prove this thing or this person that we cannot see, we can't touch, and a lot of us can't hear him because we're too cluttered in the mind and in the spirit, too broken to even believe beyond the point of what's in front of our face. And in order to believe in God, you have to go beyond that in your spirit to know that there is something greater, there is something deeper beyond what you're surrounded by and what you see.
Okay, great point. We have a caller from the 585 area code. Caller from the 585 area code. Hello, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, how you guys doing? My name is Chad. I'm out of New York.
Hey, Chad, how you doing? Welcome to Can We Talk Radio. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I saw your description there, and I was just curious if you guys do believe. I have a comment, too, but I wanted to ask you first. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way?
I'm sorry, Chad. You kind of like sound very choppy, but I believe you asked, do we believe that Jesus is the only way?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, we do. That's our belief.
I'll tell you this. Can you guys hear me okay?
A little bit.
Yeah.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I do have a ministry where I involve myself in this very subject. Okay, I go around, I speak to groups, and there are two major questions that get brought, or two major objections that get brought up, and that and in the form of a question. Number one, does a God really exist? And number two, even if I can convince somebody who is not a believer that there is some sort of a divine God, then which God is it? I mean, after all, we have... In this world today, we have so many social clubs and so many religions and so many denominations, it's hard to tell. What I do is I ask a person, and I don't know if anybody listening out there can use this, but what I do is when I'm witnessing to somebody, I ask them this question: what makes the product of our faith real or true? Why should you trust anything that comes out of my mouth? And why should I trust anything that comes out of your mouth? Now, if they're a complete atheist, then I go a different route, but this is sort of general. And typically they give me an answer like this: well, my faith determines what's real. I said, really? That's interesting. I said, what if, though, my faith directly involves you? And they typically respond by saying, well, how does it involve me? What if my faith tells me that your faith is wrong? Am I still right? And they typically say, well, I don't know, I guess you are. And that's self-defeating, right? And they say, yes. I said, that's why the answer about Jesus and whether or not he is truly the only way or whether or not God really does exist, it cannot come from our own opinions. It has to come from something that's true. And what I suggest is I have with me right now, right here, something that's supernatural and paranormal, and I can share it with you right now. Do you want to see it? They typically look around very nervous, and they say, well, what is it? I say the Holy Bible. And I do a couple of little exercises with them. I do something called the Isaiah test to show the supernatural scriptures. And that gives it a little more authenticity for at least me to squeeze in there a little more about the gospel. I don't go in blazing away and saying, hey, do you know who Jesus is? Do you think that you're guilty if you broke his holy laws? And typically if he's a skeptic or if she's a skeptic, they're going to respond by saying, yeah, but I don't really care. You know?
Right.
I got to get in there and I got to knock down some turrets. I got to knock down some walls before I can get into it. And I think
absolutely.
The Bible is the answer, a great apologetic tool when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior.
Absolutely. Oh, so right. Let me ask you, that's a good point.
Cool, yeah.
Very good. Now, let me ask you, are you in ministry or?
Yes, I am in a ministry.
Okay, that's awesome. Very good.
Need more information. I'm definitely looking to get it out more. People are familiar with the ministry. But it's the 1,000,000% proof that God exists. And I always get one person from every presentation I do to come up to me and say, hey, Chad, did you get the math wrong on that? You know? And typically I respond by saying, you know, I should have carried the one. No, just kidding. It's just an artistic expression. Some years ago, I don't know if you guys ever witnessed this before, but I was listening to an atheist and a Christian talking, and the atheist turned to the Christian and said, I don't believe you can prove God's existence, and I don't think you can do it through the Bible. And the atheist or the Christian says, okay, fair enough, I got one better for you. He says, this is interesting. Take a look at the house over there. And the atheist looked at the house, says, how do you know there was a builder for that house? And he said, well, because the house is 100% proof that there was a builder. And I knew what he was doing, you know. If a building needs a builder, then a creation needs a creator. So I knew what he was doing there. But the conversation didn't go anywhere because the idea of proving God's existence was in a house. I say we have the chief proof. We have the most incredible supernatural proof, and it comes in two different forms. Something called immaterial realities, which I teach, and the other one is the Bible as an apologetic tool. So I use that to really validate everything that I say.
Absolutely, great comments, Chad. And Chad, hold on the line. We'll get back to you really shortly. Alicia, what do you think of Chad's comment?
I appreciate Chad for calling in, and thank you so much for your comment. I think what Chad had to say definitely was good insight. I liked what he talked about at the end, where the analogy that he gave, when you look at a house, you know that somebody had to build it, and even when you look at the universe, well, who created it? You know, we didn't just evolve. We didn't just, you know, there wasn't just some explosion, and oops, now we're all here. So it definitely challenges their philosophy or belief system when they want to say there is no God. So I appreciate his comments, and hopefully other people were able to glean something from what he had to say.
Absolutely. Ronnie, what do you think of Chad's comment? Ronnie, we got you still? Okay, Ronnie's probably, we had some, we'll probably get him back in a second. All right. Here's the thing, guys, we were talking about, is Christianity a philosophy? My thing is this, is that Jesus backs up his claim with unique credentials as who he is. He said he was God in the flesh. He proved this by embodying the attributes of God and fulfilling dozens of prophecies written hundreds of years before Jesus even came to the planet. Unlike other religious leaders or other philosophers, Jesus also authenticated himself by performing great miracles in broad daylight in front of skeptics. He demonstrated his mastery and authority over nature. He demonstrated his mastery and authority over sickness. And he demonstrated his mastery and authority over death by bringing Lazarus back to life after 4 days in a cold, damp tomb. In the most spectacular demonstration of his deity, Jesus also fulfilled his own prediction by being resurrected from the dead in an historical event that was witnessed by more than 500 people. So that really sparks our spiritual revolution that we call Christianity today. So that's my comment about that. Ronnie, do we have you back, Ronnie?
I'm in the house, yeah.
Okay, we lost you for a minute there. I was asking what you thought about Mr. PK. I'm at the Chad, the caller who called in.
Man, I'm so thankful for Chad, and I like your approach. You know, and I just want to encourage you to keep teaching what you're teaching. I'm interested in yeah, keep in touch with us. Please give us an email where we can be in touch, and, you know, maybe you could shed some light on things that we could use out here, because that approach is peaceful. Like, I would like people to realize if someone's witnessing to you, it's not because they want to one-up you. It's because they love you. It's because they've been shown compassion by the Father, and they want to share that with humanity because, you know, it's just a good thing. And so, That was a good approach, because I think a lot of people who have evangelizing in their hearts, the hardest hurdle that they have to hurdle is the approach. And so you broke the ice well, and, you know, may God keep using you and blessing you. And I pray you send your message and your method to the rest of us. So, no, that was good and encouraging.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to talk about the last point that I wrote down for today's topic. Question number three is, why are Christians to others appear to be, or why do we appear to be narrow-minded and arrogant when it comes to thinking that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Here's my thing. If there was more than one way, if there were many roads to God, and we as Christians were claiming that ours is the best, then I would agree with that statement. But that's not what Christians are saying. We're saying that somebody has got to pay the penalty of sin. By virtue of sinlessness and by virtue of divinity, Jesus is the only one qualified to be that substitute. That, my friends, is the true reality of the situation. Alicia, what do you think about my comment?
That's very true. I mean, he is the only one who paid for our sins, and I think that's what a lot of people miss when we, you know, when they call us narrow-minded. And the scripture that I think about is when it talks about in Matthew, and it says that, you know, broad is, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many are going to find it because you can walk that broad road where anything goes, and it'll ultimately lead you to a path of destruction. So when people say that Christians are narrow-minded, it's really not that we're narrow-minded. We've just chosen to believe that the Word of God is the final authority. And if His Word says this is the way it is, that's what we believe, and that's what we've chosen to accept is the only truth. And so it's not about being narrow-minded. Going to what you just commented on, once again, I just really just emphasize that somebody did have to pay the penalty. When you think about the fact that God took his only son, and as the Word of God says in Isaiah, beat him, but Jesus was beaten beyond the recognition where people couldn't even realize that he was human. It shows you how much God hates sin, and the fact that he poured out upon him his own wrath for the sins of all mankind, it really helps you understand. And it's not about, oh, you're being narrow-minded. No, it's about understanding that the Word of God says the wages of sin is death. Somebody had to die. Somebody had to pay the penalty because we sinned. If we couldn't pay it, God was showing us that we couldn't do it because we weren't perfect. We couldn't keep the law. So now somebody came and did it for us. God's not going to now say, okay, my son paid the price. Now I've made a way for you to come and be reconnected with me and spend eternity with me, and now say, okay, even though I've, you know, allowed my son to be brutally beaten and pay the penalty for sin, now, okay, you can use Buddha or Allah to get to me. That makes no sense. No one's going to allow their only son to be beaten and brutalized to pay for the sins of an entire world to now say you can get to me by some other means. So it's really not about being narrow-minded. When you really understand the scope of what we believe, you see it's a lot more than just saying you're wrong and we're right. It's really about understanding that there is a wrong and there is a right, and the only way is Jesus. So really that's what it boils down to.
And, Alicia, that was a very good point that you mentioned right there. I like that analogy. And I think it in terms of, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about me. I remember last night it was dark and I was trying to get home into my house, and I used the wrong key. That key would not open the door. I have about 20 keys on one keychain. I got a lot of keys, but there's only one key that can open that door. No other key is going to open the door.
Very good point. I like it, and hopefully that analogy hits home for some people, because it definitely helps you visualize that we all have keys on our key ring. How many keys can you use your house key for your car? No. And so even in understanding that there's only one key that'll start your car, there's only one key that gives you access to heaven. And his name is Jesus. So it's not about saying, I hate the other keys on your key ring. It's just about telling you that those other keys on your key ring are not going to grant you access to heaven.
That's good.
Woo. That's good. That's good, Alicia. And that's the thing. And one thing I want to also add to that, guys, is that whatever you guys believe in, you better be right. You had better be right, because when you get to eternity, your ideologies, your good old American values of what's right and what's wrong goes out the window. And what God says, his eternal truth, is gonna be confronting you. So And Ronnie, last week we asked the question like, why do I have to believe in God to get to heaven? Well, remember that analogy?
Yeah, it was good.
Who gets to go into your house? People that know
you,
or people that don't know you? I would submit that it's people that know who you are, or people who respect the rules of your house. And it's just like heaven. Heaven's God's house. Those who get into heaven are those who know God and those who respect Him. If you can't spend 50 years or 80 years on planet Earth getting to know God and knowing who He is, then what makes you think you want to do that for eternity? That's my comment, people. PK, you still there? What do you think about that?
Yes. First off, I just want to say that all you guys' views are just wonderful. And as I'm sitting here listening, I'm just being so, filled with the Word of God. And there's nothing like being filled with the Word of God, because that is the real natural food, the real natural nourishment for the spirit, for the soul, and for the mind. And when I look at it, I don't think that we're narrow-minded and arrogant either. I just think that we've come to a point to know that in knowing God, wherever you fell in love with God at and decided to hand your life over to Him, that right there marks the start and the place of your meeting place in God. And in that meeting place, it's so filled with serenity and purity. I mean, it's the most divine place that you can be with God, because that's the place that met you and wooed you and got you to the point to where He was your first love. You know, He was everything that you thought about and wanted to do something about and for. And I just look at it like that. It's our meeting place, and that's our purest place with God. And I feel a lot of people are out of whack and out of place because either you have been removed from that place because your heart is, so filled with bitterness and hatred. And, going with the world, God said we're in the world, but we're not of it. And with having Him always, He is a covering and as well as a stopping against what's out here, because you have all types of things built up against you on a daily basis to kill you off, to knock you down, that have counted you out the race, but God did not count you out the race. That's why you're still here, is because you still have a purpose to fulfill, a destiny to follow and to bring to fruition. And so I just feel that a lot of people are out of place or haven't met their place yet because they haven't given God a chance. And I feel if you give God a chance, I'm personally speaking from experience, that you will see that God is everything that you need. You don't have to go to a psychic. You don't have to go to a best friend, because no matter what they say to you, it's never going to fill you the way that God's word will fill you. And as soon as He does answer that thing for you, whatever you are asking, you will see that it shuts down everything inside you to where that word is final. That word rings true with you, and you don't need to go to anybody else because you have everything that you need through God. And so it's just having the courage and the strength to over the threshold of that door, that unfamiliar place, into getting to know God, because everything is in the house.
Absolutely. That's a great point. Guys, well, it's about that time where we're going to wind down the show. But before we do that, I want to take a chance to thank all my co-hosts. Alicia Cheney, always powerful, brought some heavy points in. Alicia, what do you think about today's show?
Great topic. I really hope that it was insightful and really open the eyes of people who have questions, and most importantly, challenge people to seek God for themselves and not just go according to what, even what they hear here. You know, I believe we have definitely provided biblical foundation, but in any situation, it's always up to us to exercise due diligence and go back and seek out what we've communicated and go back to what does the Word of God say. And I just say, even for myself, that's how I strive to live my life, where at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to matter the most is what has the Word of God said. And so that's what I would challenge people. Don't listen to my philosophies or what anyone else has to say or anything, because none of that really matters at the end of the day. What does the Word of God say? And so I hope people have been challenged to go to the Word and to seek out truth, which is Jesus Christ, for themselves. And one thing I have said to other people who at times have wondered, you know, or asked me, well, how do you know there's a God? And how do you know these different things? God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. And if God is who he says he is, if you really seek him, he has a way to reveal himself to you in such a way that you are left with no questions. And so I would just encourage people that if you're out there wondering, well, God, how do I know that Jesus is really the right way? I hear, you know, Alicia, Raz, and Ronnie on the show talking, but how do I know what they've told me is true? Well, don't listen to what we have to say. Go to God the Father, you know, and if he is who he says he is, if he is this omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent God, surely he can reveal himself to you if you seek him with a pure heart to know, God, are you who you say you are? So that would be what I would encourage people to do, to seek the heart of God for themselves, because when you think about how long eternity is, that's a long time. And when you digest, am I willing to build my life upon what I think at the chance that what I think could be wrong and have to pay for it for the rest of eternity, that's a heavy price to pay. So make sure what you believe is correct, especially when what you're believing will determine your eternal destination. So that's what I really hope people have walked away with from tonight. I think it was an excellent topic, and prayerfully it was enlightening to those who listened.
Wow-wee. Alicia's a heavy hitter. Brother Ronnie, man, what do you think about today's topic, man, and how do you enjoy the show?
Well, I enjoyed the topic. I enjoyed the show, and, you know, I just want to reinforce what Alicia said, and want to encourage everybody to go do some studies, do some research, put some stuff on a scale, and come out with some strong and useful information that will help you decide whether what you're dealing with is true. And if you call yourself not religious, or if you call yourself not a believer, or you just leave those things alone, you have to consider this, that you do come from somewhere. You do have a creator. Life was given to humanity and the universe, and that comes from somewhere. And, you know, if you want to stop at the Big Bang, you have to remember that took two things created to be banged together. So you can't just stop there. You know, there is a beginning and there is an end, and the scripture is pretty clear on how things were, how things are, and how things will be. So I just want to encourage everybody, don't just be in limbo, and please don't be fooled into thinking that you aren't in this spiritual war. You're in it. We were all born in it. And so I just encourage you to choose the right side and know that coming into the saving knowledge is not about religion. Coming to the saving knowledge is a gift from God that you can't earn, that you don't deserve, that you can only accept. If you know how to accept a compliment, you can accept eternal life once you read it in the scripture and it speaks to your spirit. So I just encourage you to do some research. Don't be left on the bench, you know. Get out there and see what the Bible has to say. Compare it to the rest of the belief systems and make a decision, because we're not promised tomorrow.
Good point, Ronnie. And I want to thank my guest, PK Spearman, for coming on the show. PK, thank you so much for coming. calling the show, and we'll love to have you back again, and we'll definitely make that happen. You have a wonderful testimony, and I would definitely love you to have you on the show so everyone could hear your testimonies and hear what God has done in your life. Guys, listen, you heard what we had to say. And for those of you who are wondering, yes, that's right, we're saying it. Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the truth and the life. So go figure. That's it for Can We Talk Radio. I'm your host, Raz Williams. Please listen to the archives of this show and listen to it intentively. Read your Bible. Pray and ask God to reveal himself to you, and I promise you he will. And that's my comment. God bless.
About love.